Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the 13 Club podcast. This is the postmortem from, I don't even know, I think episode 11. And today I am not joined by Mira May because she was at Comics Pro. I am joined by my corgi, who is rubbing her face on the floor and making growling noises. But I'm also here with my husband.
Hello.
And we are going to talk a little bit about our experience at Kennedy Castle.
Yep. So that's some interesting stuff.
Science! We're recording a podcast! Literally rubbing her body on the rug.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
It's not time for that.
Why don't you relax?
So, first of all, do you want to, like, sort of explain what Kennedy Castle is to you and why we went there?
So, Kennedy Castle is a hotel, bed and breakfast in Ireland, in the Midlands and County Offaly. It's, my father is one of the owners of the property. So, we took a family trip there for Christmas so that you could go to Ireland for the first time, and mm-hmm. that my brother could go for the first time, mm-hmm. whereas my other brother, my sister-in-law, and I had been before to Kennedy. I don't want to name any dates about Kennedy because I'd get them wrong. I think it's a 16th century castle.
I didn't even try when I was going through it. I guess I could have gone on the website and looked at it that way.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a 16th century castle or thereabouts. It's built on the grounds of an older castle and a monastery. And for a time it was owned by the Irish government, and it was a forestry academy. There's a lot of history there and a lot of things that have happened there throughout the years.
But most relevant to us, there was a monastery.
Yeah, there was. So there was at one point in time a monastery on the grounds in the bottom, sort of bottom floor of the hotel is directly over where the monastery would have been. And part of the monastery still remains, the great hall and the dungeon.
Mm-hmm. So we didn't really experience anything in the Geraldine. What do you remember about what they said about Geraldine?
So the castle is famously haunted. It's been on a number of paranormal shows.
Ghost Adventures.
It's been on, what's the, like, Travel. Creepiest hotels on mm-hmm. the Travel Channel. I can't remember what the show is called. But because there are supposedly a number of ghosts, and the most famous one is Geraldine. So we chose to stay in the room named after Geraldine. The story goes that Geraldine was a staff member at some point in time, I don't even know when, at the castle, who committed suicide on the grounds, right?
I don't think the suicide was her.
Okay, so she died on the ground, supposedly, yeah. Right? Like mm-hmm. that was the...
But, I mean, you might be right, because also you have to keep in mind we were, you know, talking to different staff members and different people in the small town of Kennedy, and everybody kind of has their own version of the story.
Yeah.
Like the bus driver that drove us back from the pub was like, there was a child sacrificed in your bedroom, and yeah. I could find no evidence of that.
Yeah. Kennedy, yeah, for what it's worth, is a very, very small town. Offaly is a very sparsely populated county. And the locals were, they make up all of the staff and a lot of the patrons of the castle. So yeah, our information was coming from local lore for the most part, than what, you know, you can find on the internet from throughout the years. We didn't experience personally anything in the Geraldine.
Well, I did leave the recorder running while we were at the pub.
Yeah.
And the only person that could have gone in the room was Trish.
Yeah.
But she said she did not.
Yeah.
And she didn't seem like she was joking about that. I think she was probably
right,
serious.
That's right.
So the recorder caught the door opening. And the way that it is right next to the other room, sometimes it was hard to tell whose door was being knocked on or whose door was opening, but our brother and sister were also out with us at the pub at the time, who were staying in the room next to us. But I heard on the recorder a door open. It sounded like somebody walked in our room and started, like, kind of rummaging around. But I don't think anyone was in there. There's a small possibility it was Trish. But she said she didn't.
Yeah. So that our sister-in-law did experience something as she was in her room next door to ours, getting ready. And somebody knocked on her door, correct?
Yeah. And then they found a butterfly in the room.
Yeah. But there was nobody at the door. We were all downstairs. There wasn't any staff left in the building. It was just us at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, somebody tried to turn the doorknob.
Yeah, that's what it was. Because Trish had tried to spook her out earlier by
literally going down the hallway going, ooh, which I got blamed for, of course. Yeah. But come on, if I was going to do something like that, I'd be a little more creative.
Right. But somebody did jiggle the door handle or knock on the door or try to gain entry. And then there was... Nobody was upstairs, and there was nobody in the castle except for us.
I got accused of all of this, but I was down in the dungeon bar.
Yeah, we were downstairs. So, yeah. So there was interesting stuff happening on our floor.
Also, we sort of had free reign.
Yeah, we were there over Christmas, and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we were the only people on the property.
Right, and so I walked into every single room. Some rooms... kind of gave off a vibe or seemed a little bit creepy. I heard what sounded like, you know, doors opening and closing that I don't really think anyone was opening and closing doors near me. And I heard, like, at one point I heard a hissing, but then I was like, maybe it's just the radiator.
Yeah. You talk about, like, when people experience, like, haunted houses and stuff, and you're just like, oh, it's an old house. It makes noise. Like,
yeah.
This is a really old house.
Like, yeah, there's a lot going on in that way.
So you could hear, like, occasionally it sounds like somebody's walking around, and it's just like, well, you know, God knows what's going on in the pipes. Old wooden floors and the birds in the ceiling. Like,
oh, yeah.
So there was kind of... For the most part, like for me at least, walking around and when we were just like poking our heads into rooms and stuff, and just nothing that couldn't be pretty easily explained by some noise just happening in the walls or in the wood or whatever.
Until Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, like pretty late, like
yeah, we had been in the library bar playing some games and stuff with the family. They ended up going to bed, and then the two of us and our brother Brady, who is also into paranormal and ghost stuff, we all decided that we would ghost hunt the castle. And as I talked about in the episode, I had stumbled across an article written by the Haunted Housewife. And she talked about the Geraldine room. And more importantly, she talked about Hugh's room. And, Hugh's room.
There are two Hugh rooms, right?
Yeah, and they're like right next to each other. Yeah. So it's a bit confusing, but I was able to identify which room she was in because of the picture that she posted.
It was a little difficult because the hotel's undergone a lot of remodeling.
Yeah, but that room still looks exactly the same. Yeah. And so Hugh was supposedly a monk who I talked about this in the full episode, but he was a monk who committed suicide, and a lot of people, the staff have reported seeing him or talking to him. One staff member even said that he was a friend of theirs. And then in the full episode, I talked about the haunted housewife's experiences. Our cats are climbing the cat tree, sorry. Talked about her experiences, which were pretty significant, and I haven't had a chance to try and track her down and see if I could get those EVPs or anything yet. But we decided that we would go into that room, and if you want to hear my side of that account, just go listen to the previous episode because I talked about it. And the reason why I have my husband here, whose name is, do you want to go by Nova or Justin?
Justin's fine.
Whose name is Justin. I have him here because I'd like him to tell his side of what happened.
So yeah, like we went, I'm gonna probably get things out of order. But we went into the Hue room and kind of hung out for a while. And it was a weird feeling kind of room. We turned on our like app store ghost hunting.
Oh man, I didn't
tech.
Even include this.
Gosh, it did not, it was terrible. But we were, you know, paying attention to that stuff. And then at some point in time, we were like, well, let's turn the lights off and just wait and see if anything happens. And we turned the lights off. It's cave dark in there because there's no, that was like basement level. There's no light coming from anywhere. Except, in the corner of the room, on our left, as we were kind of hanging out on the bed, on our left, up in the corner, top corner between the wall and the ceiling, was a faint like blue light, that we all kind of saw. And then, I don't remember if I asked you first or if you asked if I saw it, but
I thought it was Brady who saw it first, or who mentioned it.
Somebody asked, do you see that?
I had been looking at it, and Brady was like, do you see that?
Yeah. And we were all like, the light, like the little blue like light up there.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember how many times we like turned the lights on and checked it out and like investigated like if there was a seam in the floor, like in the ceiling above us, the floor above us, that would let a light in, or if there could have been like a loose wire. There were no gaps like that anything was shining through.
And one thing I forgot to mention in my account of it is that we actually talked to staff about it, and they were like, yeah, there's no explanation for why there would be a blue light.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it got weirder too. Cause like, as we kept like turning the lights off to sit there and re-verify, the light was there, and then there were two lights, and then the light moved, and, again, I'm trying to remember like the exact order in which everything occurred, but it was just, I don't know what it could have been. Like we, sat and watched this thing for several minutes, more than once. And the light shifted positions, like moved across the room, like moved over by the wardrobe where there's nothing like, there's no loose wires in this old castle by the wardrobe. There's no, you know, emergency lights or anything like that that would have been shining through anywhere over there. Anything to reflect. There were no windows, no light coming through windows. Like, I don't know what it could have been. Like, I have no idea what could have been providing that light.
Do you remember the thing that freaked you out the most?
Well, yeah, you had like a moment of just being overcome by sadness.
Yeah.
And just like just started crying out of nowhere.
And this was after I had been asking questions,
yeah,
directly to who I thought was Hue.
Yeah. A suicidal monk. So we, you know, the idea that there's some amount of lingering sorrow seems reasonable.
Do you remember when we were in the hallway going after Brady?
Yeah.
Do you remember something significant about that?
I don't know.
The sound of the woman.
Oh yeah. It sounded like we heard somebody's voice.
Yeah.
Like,
it sounded like we heard somebody, and I've already reenacted, and I don't want to like feed you info to make you feel swayed, but
no,
it sounded like a woman going.
Yeah, I was like weeping, like, but it was like we were like, what was that? And then there was nothing, and then we walked down the hall.
Yeah, and I tried to see if my recorder had picked it up.
There was nothing. Yeah, was that when we were going after Brady in the first place? Like, yeah, when he was running down the halls, like
doing the Zach Bagans, as I called it.
Yeah, like he's just like yelling at the walls.
He's like, I am not a Christian. I don't believe in God.
Yeah.
Fuck Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just yelling his angry militant atheist stuff at at the walls, because it was the grounds of a monastery, so he assumed he'd stir them up the old fashioned way.
Yeah, we don't necessarily support this approach, but it's what he did.
Yeah. yeah. There wasn't a lot of consulting going on there.
We did go out to tell him, like, hey, can you keep it down a little bit?
Yeah.
Can you keep your raging atheism to a more tolerable level, because people are sleeping?
Yeah, that was like trying to convince him that the last thing his father would want to be woken by, his very Catholic father would want to be woken by, was his middle child running down the halls of his castle screaming, fuck Jesus. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was a time.
Yeah, it was everybody, like, I say everybody, you weren't super freaked out. I was super freaked out by what happened to you. And Brady was too afraid to sleep on the floor that he was sleeping on. Like, he came up to our floor and took an unoccupied room.
Yeah, and your dad was so offended, because he was just like, I was right there next to him in the room. Like, I could have protected him from the ghosts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, he needed me to protect him.
Yeah, but also my father's the one who was, like, while we were in Lepp Castle down the street from Kennedy, which you've talked about before. The owner proprietor of Lepp Castle, Sean, talked about how frequently they just have someone touch them, something touch them as they're walking by, or someone grab their arm or grab their shoulder.
Yeah, they think it's the nanny.
Yeah, yeah. And my dad was just like, yeah, if somebody grabbed me, I'd be running the other direction. I would not feel welcome. I would not feel like that's a benign, but I don't care what it is, I would be gone. So I'm sure he's protecting a lot of people from haunts.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a tougher man in this regard.
Yeah. He's, again, very Catholic. All supernatural, and
the only ghost he wants to see is the Holy Ghost.
That's the only one. He's not okay with spooks.
So what were your impressions of Lepp Castle?
Lepp Castle was really, really cool. It's a really just a super interesting place, and Sean is one of the most interesting and knowledgeable people I've ever met in my life.
I know, he's so cool.
You could sit and listen to him tell you stories and histories of Ireland for hours and hours.
He was telling us about cattle farming, and we were just captivated. Like, talk to me about cattle farming for like five more years.
Yeah, it was crazy. And the amount of like the different descendants of clan royalty from the early history of Ireland.
I touched on that briefly in the previous episode.
Yeah, and the ones that ended up in various places in the U.S., in Maryland and in Fauquier County, Virginia. It was just really interesting stuff. And then the castle itself, it's so crazy to me that they live there.
Yeah. Well, they have a couple homes.
But. Yeah, but they live in the castle. And the castle is just as creepy as any building could possibly be, just on its own.
It's not like Kennedy. It's not like a fully renovated and finished castle.
No, because it had been burned down by the English.
The whole Bloody Chapel area is just like open.
Yeah.
It's like open stone windows.
All of the wooden floors that would have been there originally, for the most part, were burnt out. It was just a shell when he bought it in the mid 90s, and it had been burned out since the 20s, I want to say, maybe the 40s, but it had been burnt by the English. He bought it and began the restoration of it in the 90s and 93,
and has been working on it.
Has been working on it ever since.
There's still a lot he wants to do to it before he's done with it.
So it's really unfinished, but that does also just kind of lend itself to how creepy the place can be.
I covered the stories that he gave us, but I did mention that he has invited us to come back whenever we would like to do an overnight investigation.
Yeah.
And it's something I definitely want to take him up on. I think we'll be going back in 2020, and I was a little nervous when upon first meeting him because I have seen like multiple interviews with him, and I'd seen like the Ghost Adventures episode on him, and there's a YouTuber that I like a lot, and his name is DeBurk, and he's an Irish horror YouTuber. It's DeBurk 321, right?
I think so.
And he did an episode on Lep Castle, and so I felt like I already knew Sean because I had seen a lot of his or listened to a lot of his interviews, and when I got there, I just wanted to be very respectful, and I was really grateful that he was willing to just like host us. Like, it was a private tour, like we'd never met him before. He's hosting us like we're his friends.
From Galway.
Yeah, I came back from Galway just to meet with us and like lit the fire. We're all sitting around and just chatting, and I was just, you know, the hospitality was incredible, and I didn't want to kind of be like a creepy journalist woman, like, here, can I record this conversation? I sort of just wanted to live in the moment and just enjoy talking with him. And now that I have gotten to know him a little bit better, I realized that I think he would have been totally fine with me, telling some of the ghost stories and having them recorded. So the next time I do see him, I'm definitely going to record his stories, and you guys can listen to them.
Yeah, I think he really does. He just enjoys bringing light to the stories of his, you know, the history of his people and his country. And then also, you know, the castle, the place that he lives in, his passion project.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would have any problem sharing that with everybody, because it's just, he likes to tell the stories. He likes to.
Yeah, he said he likes being interviewed. He's participated in a lot of documentaries, but he never watches them.
Yeah. He's never seen any of the episodes of various shows that have been shot. And
no, but he did speak very highly of Zach Bagans. He said that Zach is a good worker and a very nice person. Anything else you want to say on that?
No, I don't think so. I encourage everybody to take a trip out to County Offaly. Go stay at Kennedy, see what you see, and then you know, head down the street a little ways to Lep.
Yeah.
Visit Sean.
I mean, next time we go to Ireland, we have some definite places that we want to go. Some more spooky places, like the Hellfire Club in Dublin and some other stuff. So there will be more.
We made the mistake of going to a Catholic country for the Christmas holiday and expected anything to be open.
Well, we didn't make that mistake.
We didn't make that. Well, the mistake was made for us.
Yeah.
The mistake was made on our behalf.
Yeah.
And we just got to suffer the consequences.
Yeah. It was such, you know, so difficult just being in Ireland for any reason.
Yeah. I mean, what a horrid country.
Yeah. Anyway, we love it. We want to move there. So we usually close out postmortems by talking like a little bit about anything cool that we're watching or listening to or reading, whatever. And we have like a strong warning not to watch a movie.
It's called Revenge. I was reading an article like 2 days ago, and I forget who wrote the article, but it wasn't very good anyway. But it was listed as one of the top 15 horror movies of 2018.
Yeah.
And a lot of people really liked it. Made a lot of lists.
Yeah, it's Revenge. It's 2017. It's one of the French, supposed to be one of the new wave French extreme horror films.
It was extreme horror film.
Oh.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was really bad. We watched a little over an hour of it.
Yeah, we at one point just gave up because we had watched most of the film and almost nothing had happened except for like the worst part was definitely a gross rape scene that we were just like, no thanks.
Yeah. If you watch the trailers, you can see, because I don't really want to spoil this awful thing, but if you watch the trailers, you'll see that there are three antagonists, and given the title of the movie, you would assume that the main character is going to attempt to kill the three antagonists. Over an hour into the film, one was dead.
Yeah, well, we thought it was going to be like a Your Next situation, not to spoil Your Next, but yeah, we were hoping it would be something like that. Badass chick destroying dudes, but it wasn't that, and it was like, if I'm going to sit through a rape scene, I want it to be worth it, and that was definitely not worth sitting through.
Yeah, there was the movie accrued a little bit of emotional debt in that and never paid it back.
Right.
And it also was kind of like it got kind of goofy, and there was some really awkward things happening that really broke our suspension of disbelief. Like, we could not get past some of the stuff.
Cauterizing the wound with the beer can.
Yeah, and the beer can tattoo.
And the resulting beer can tattooing beer can tattoo. Her with the label.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of wonderful stuff you guys could see if you would just watch that movie.
Don't watch that movie, though.
Then, for me personally, I'm watching the Amazon Prime series called Picnic at Hanging Rock. It's based on an old book. There's an original film. It's pretty cool. It's like a spooky Victorian mystery about an all-girls college and girls who go missing and can't, like, some of them are found, some of them aren't, and there's a lot of, like, supernatural stuff. And it's really cool. It's extremely stylish. It stars Natalie Dormer. If you guys watched the movie The Babysitter, that Netflix, like, horror comedy, the star from that is actually one of the main characters as well, and she's so awesome. So yeah, I would say it's a little bit on the girly side, but I really like it. And the other thing we're watching is, I don't know if you would classify it as horror, but there are some elements.
Yeah, you got Klaus, right?
You also have The Horror.
And The Horror, yeah, that's true. yeah, everybody's watching Umbrella Academy right now.
And so are we.
And we are too. As Gerard Way fans, as comic book fans, as Netflix comic book TV show fans.
Yeah.
We're not remotely finished, but we're enjoying it.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
I'm, like, very gripped by it. I'm very emotionally invested.
Yeah, it's cool. I picked up the, like, Free Comic Book Day comic before the main series came out years and years ago. And so I remember, like, nothing from the comics. It was so long ago. But I'm really enjoying the TV show.
Yep.
It's good stuff.
So I think that's about it. And our dog's about to start barking again. So we will leave you with that. Thank you for bearing with us in the absence of Mirame, but she will be back for the next episode, so stay tuned. Bye.
Bye.